Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle-cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Wednesday. Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out at concreteindustries.com, also at NEBCOinc.com.
Concrete makes the world go round. We've talked about that.
It does.
We need...
It does.
It makes the world go round.
I kind of kept it in place.
Well, yeah, but if you don't have concrete, like I said, everything shuts down.
Right. No, yeah. You're right.
It's true.
Life shuts down.
We are joined now by Husker Alliance Sean Callahan. Sean, good morning. It is a bye week for Nebraska football, and I guess the big news of yesterday in college football was Mike Gundy is out at Oklahoma State after 21 seasons. Gundy was in the title game 2 years ago in the Big 12. 3-9 last year, lose to Tulsa. I mean, how shocked are you, Sean, at the fall off of Gundy to now be fired as of yesterday?
Yeah, I kind of felt like this was going to be his last year. I just, you know, seeing a guy that had 18 straight winning seasons and then had one rough one last year and then only a few games this year just tells you how fast schools will move on you. It doesn't matter what you've done the last several years in the past. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we're seeing the same thing going on at Clemson. If you don't kind of embrace and adapt, it's tough. I mean, you know, Kirk Ferentz is the real outlier, and he's battled his own wars at Iowa, and he's been able to survive those over the years at Iowa. And I still believe him beating Nebraska in the year every year over the last 10 years, for the most part, has helped Ferentz kind of push forward through some controversy and adversity in Iowa City where that he's held on. But it's not easy to do what Mike Gundy's done and be there that long. But you would like to, though, have seen him kind of go out on his own terms or at least get a finish the year out and kind of have a farewell tour. But maybe the administrators there got the sense it wasn't going to be pretty no matter how they did this.
Do you have any thoughts on a replacement right now, Sean?
It just depends on what direction they want to go. Do they want to stay within their family? Do they want to go something similar to Mike Gundy, or do they want to go completely different? And, you know, Mike Gundy has really been the only successful coach they've had there. I believe before he got there, they only had a few winning seasons in the history of the program. So it is really it's a unique place. You've been to Stillwater. It's kind of out there, and it's not near much. So you kind of need a Mike Leach kind of Mike Gundy type of guy that, mm-hmm. you know, fits a job like that. But it's hard to say what they're thinking, because a lot of times when you make a change like that, you generally go kind of opposite of what you've had before.
Yeah, the elephant in the room, and I hesitate to bring it up, but it's out there, is Dana Holgorsen. Would you think he'll pop in there as a legit candidate?
I mean, he might be this listed on list at this point, but I just have a hard time thinking they're going to go to, like, a guy that pretty much was with Gundy. I mean, and he's similar to Gundy, I mean, in some respects. I just don't know if you do this move, do you say, all right, we're going to basically kind of get another version of Mike Gundy, a guy that didn't have a successful run at Houston and, you know, kind of left West Virginia on bad terms. I don't know if just the 1 year at Nebraska is enough to be like, yeah, let's do this. These things are hard to predict, though, as you know. You just never know who's making the call and, you know, what direction the AD wants to go. But it would surprise me just because I feel like generally you're not going to, like, hire a former lieutenant of Mike Gundy to replace Mike Gundy.
No, that's a good point. Sean Callahan joins us. Sean, I just want you to take yourself back to Saturday. Take yourself back to the press box. Take yourself back to the first few series of Nebraska versus Michigan. Think about it. I'm not asking you to close your eyes, but you could. What did that?
Can I?
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was in the press box. So I'm gonna close my eyes.
Go ahead, Bill.
See if I can get in.
Think about those first few possessions for Nebraska and what you were seeing in terms of Michigan's pass rush against Nebraska. What was your level of surprise at what you were seeing at that moment?
You know, as I watched that pass rush, the analogy I use, I felt like I was like watching door bouncers at a bar just get completely barged.
Wow.
Overrun.
That's a visual.
Overrun.
Are supposed to, like, be holding people from barging in, and they're just getting bum rushed at the door. I mean, they're just crushing into the bar. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had no chance to stop these. I mean, and the speed, the edge, the wide, and Coach could speak more on the technicality of this, the wide nine look that Michigan was giving, where, I mean, seemingly these guys were lined up in East and West Stadium there so far out wide.
Yeah, they
and
were.
Then they were. And then they were coming in. They were coming in the door hard.
Mm-hmm. Sean, that's speed to power. It is. That's what it is. That's speed to power.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. I want to say that so bad, yeah. Speed to power. But, Sean, now, I don't know that you envisioned that going in. I don't want to speak for you, but I don't think we envisioned that problem being that intense. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, you don't ever expect it to be that bad. I mean, especially when you know, this offensive line – has a couple guys making possibly over $1 million, and a line that they constructed this offseason that also has a lot of veterans. You just didn't really envision it. I mean, yeah, you're going to give up sacks. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens gave up 7 sacks to the Detroit Lions.
Yes.
So it's going to happen. But yeah, it does kind of affect what you do the rest of the game, and you got to adjust. I mean, it happens all the time in football. Teams win the line of scrimmage and get to you. But, yeah, I think it really probably adjusted a lot of what Nebraska could do, knowing the turnover chances drastically increase when both the left and the right side are having the problems that they were having athletically matching up with the wide nine looks that Michigan came out early with.
I guess you could be overreacting to this a little bit. I could be overreacting. Or do you envision this as an issue going forward?
I don't know. I mean, Penn State's going to have guys like Michigan. We know that. USC will have some speed guys and some bigger bodies interior-wise. But I don't know if Nebraska will see quite the collection of pros. I mean, Barnum's a first-rounder.
Number one,
And, you know, multiple guys. And, you know, that was a good front. They had good players up front. And I don't know if Michigan State and Maryland and Minnesota, they might have one guy like that, but they're not going to have 5 or 6. I mean, Michigan, what really blew me away looking at the final numbers is both the one and the two left and right side edge guys, both defensive ends and outside linebackers, all of them had numbers, all of them, like, you know, 4, 5, 6 pressures per player numbers. Where they produce 36 pressures on Pro Football Focus. And, you know, some of those play, it's multiple pressures on the same play. Michigan brought more than 4. It said, I think, 23 of the almost 50% of the dropbacks, they brought more than 4 because they just didn't. you know, when you don't have to worry about Dylan Raiola running as much, you know, you can be more aggressive going after him with an extra body. And you know, I think that's going to be what a lot of teams will do. Like, if, hey, we don't have to worry about this guy really running, and if he does run, it's not going to be a huge gain. So we're going to send five at him and see what happens.
So my Husker line, Sean Callen. Sean, Sharon Moore did not coach against Nebraska, but in 10 of his 15 games he's been the head coach, they have not had 300 total yards of offense. On Saturday, with Biff Poggi as interim OC head coach, Nebraska gave up 286 rushing yards in the game. Long runs by the both starter and the backup and Underwood. We had the question against Cincinnati. I mean, you have a bye week here, but this has got to be a season-long issue defensively, is it not?
You know, some of it with Moore last year, they didn't have a quarterback last year, so they literally couldn't throw at all. So a lot of their – I mean, they beat Ohio State and Alabama doing that. I mean, I'd take that right now. And they played a different style of football a year ago because of their situation. Now they have Bryce Underwood, the number one high school-ranked quarterback in the country. So
it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Like, 'cause I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
That's kind of, that stat won't be as relevant, I would say. It will just tell you the situation they dealt with. Kind of like when Heinrich Harburg had a start for Nebraska. It was a different style of offense. You had to build around the players you had. It wasn't really an offense that you wanted to run, but you had to run it last year. That's what Michigan was in. But, yeah, back to your question. I mean, I do think just the physical size. We saw Nebraska play more four-man front. And, you know, we talked about that on Big Red Wrap-Up last night, Jay Moore and Damon Benning. Just they like that wrinkle. And I think you'll see more of that, especially when teams load up with the tight ends and the bigger bodies. The three-man look up front just is not a good matchup physically in the Big Ten week to week. You have to mix it up. You don't have Nash and Ty to kind of anchor down the line of scrimmage where you can do the three-man front and those guys can take on two bodies and win. Now I think Nebraska's going to have to get creative and just do a better job up front of mixing up what they do. But they're still – the other thing I'd say is they're not getting two quarterbacks at a very good rate. Just one sack again. And Michigan didn't have to throw and put Underwood in situations to get sacked very often. But just the ability to get to quarterbacks with four-man rushes, three-man rushes, they've not done that very well. And, you know, when you play USC and some of these teams, that could be a real problem. Maryland, too. I mean, you've got to get to quarterbacks better, and I think that's another thing, not just the run defense, just the ability to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, you got to make plays up front. Those guys got to make plays, not just hold in there. You want to see them make some plays. But, okay, switching to offense, the conversation about the number two running back, were you struck by anything that Rhule said about, he said he's going to his coaches this week and saying, we need a number two. Who do you think emerges as number two?
I mean, I think they'd like it to probably be Mekhi Nelson. The fact that he came in number two in this game, a big game on Saturday, and we didn't even see Quentin Ives play in the game, so I thought that was telling in its own right. But I just don't feel like they have a definitive number two. It just hasn't developed in that situation. And for whatever reason, you know, they did, for some reason Mekhi Nelson didn't play in the Houston Christian game, and we talked about this earlier this week. That would have been a great game to give him the carries Quentin Ives got. I would have loved to have seen him get 12 carries in that game, just to see what he could do. But now he has to take all grown man carries in real Big Ten games, and it's a little different than Houston Christian. So I just don't know. But yeah, what I do know is Emmitt Johnson leads the Big Ten in carries right now for running backs. And he's essentially taken two quarters off almost, or, you know, two quarters off each game, two halves off, and he's still leading the conference. So, you know, he's on a pace right now to have 280 carries, 285 carries. I don't know if that can play out that way, and we'll see how they manage Emmitt Johnson. But they're going to need him for 20 a game in most of these games. And is he able to do that week to week to week? They play 4 weeks plus in a row here where, you know, he's going to have to possibly have 80 carries. And can he get through that stretch? He's never had to do that in his career.
Does Nebraska have enough potency in the run game to take pressure off the quarterback?
Well, you heard Matt Rhule say, like, they want to be between 100 and 150. They're not going to be a 200-yard rush team, especially when your quarterback's not a runner. It's hard to do, you know, when you're a tailback-driven run game only. You have to really just run the hell out of it the whole game at that point. And that's not what they're going to do with the receivers and what Dylan Ayala has. So they need enough there to be able to pick up the third and shorts, to be able to be effective on early rundowns, enough to make it where you have to respect it to allow Dylan Raiola to do what he does. But you still worry teams are going to continue to play deep safety on Nebraska because of, you know, they know what Dylan can do with his arm, and they feel like they can win up front and stop Nebraska's run game even with high safety looks. Where, you know, you go back to a few years back when Tommy Armstrong was the quarterback, and if Tim Beck saw too high safety, I mean, they were checking to a run every time, and they were killing you. I mean, they forced teams to play up, which then opened the play action for Tommy back in those eras. And, you know, Nebraska's got to run it better to kind of make teams pay for playing those deep high safety looks. I mean, Cincinnati, as we talked about, play a 3-man front with three deep safety, sometimes a 5-man shell, where it was just like, okay, like, why can't you run on this? You've got to be able to attack this and make them pay for playing such a light box up front on you.
Yeah, see, the scary thing, and this is why the pass rush is concerning, if they're not running the ball effectively and they can't block the edges, I don't know what you do then at that point. I'm just saying, I don't know what that answer is. Sean, help me.
Yeah, it you're right. I mean, and so what happens is you can rush five, but you can have everyone else deep, and so the throws are harder for Dylan at that point, and people are pinning their ears back. So you've got to have some semblance of balance to this offense. And, you know, Emma Johnson had 5 carries for 10 yards in the second half. And,
okay,
you know, the second half kind of got away from them. They got down by 10. And, you know, 10-point lead for Michigan, the way they play, that's a big lead. So Nebraska had to be more aggressive and try to get those points back. So they had to go away from running the ball. But, yeah, Emmitt Johnson with only 5 carries in the second half, where he had 14 for 55 in the first half. And that's about where it should be.
Yep.
I mean, he needs to be more in that neighborhood for them to be more consistent.
Okay, recruiting picture. The coaches are going out Thursday, Friday. What are you looking for, Sean? Where's your radar?
My radar is, you know, where will Matt Rhule go? Like, that will tell you a lot about some of the priorities.
Okay.
Like, what games and what schools will he get out to? You only get 33 days out divided by 11, 10 coaches plus your head coach. So during the regular season, it averages out to about 3 days per coach. That's all you get. Now, you don't send out all 11 probably.
Okay.
So, Keith Williams and Mosey go out more than other guys do. But so for Matt Rhule, when he's out, it's very important to kind of track where he goes, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That does make sense, Sean. Thank you.
Sean, always good stuff. Thanks for the time, and we will chat with you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Husker Online, Sean Callahan.
I'm telling you now, like, you talk about Clemson, where their struggling bill is up front. They don't have the dudes up front that they usually have had. And I heard Jimbo, you know, Jimbo's kind of the authority on college football, talking yesterday. You got to have your guys up front actually affecting the game. Not holding in there, not just, you don't the problem I have with Nebraska right now is the discussion is, God, if they can just hold up front. Mm-hmm. Now, how about make some plays? How about affect the game? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, if the conversation is just, if we can just kind of hold in there, I don't know.
What's the point?
It's not the conversation you want to have.
No, and like I said, that's the one thing that there's no the team is what it is now. So that's why you have to look to what your best way to get better is some form of youth that hasn't played very much, that has the bodies that can get better during this bye week, can get better as they keep going like that. That's your chance. And then who can develop a little bit more at this rate? And some people go all of a sudden, it's like, man, this guy, remember him game one, and now it's game 10. Now look at him. That's what you're trying to look for and you're hoping for. But I agree. Nothing affects a game more than up front. And the one that stands out the most like that is D-line, because O-lines, you don't see it as much early. You'll see teams run the ball with great O-lines. Like, man, I got gain of one. That also the O-line wears you out. Where like you talked about with the Michigan game, play one. Even though there was a couple scrambles, they moved the ball. Dylan was running for his life. And he just happened to, they had a busted coverage, turned the tight end loose, and got a huge play out of it. It wasn't like, I'm just standing back here patting the ball. No, it was it wasn't that at all. No. So you see the defensive line first. That's what you see the most. You see the offensive line as games progress as you go on, and they grind you down.
Before we get to break, it is time for the Cash Blitz $1,000 cash contest keyword. Text this number. The number is this, 408. Sorry.
What's the word?
That's the wrong number.
508-777-1000.
You type in the number. It's 508-777-1000. The keyword today is play. P-L-A-Y.
Play.
If you text the word play, P-L-A-Y, to the number 508-777-1000. Okay. You have a chance to win $1,000 that we give away tomorrow around noon.
Noon.
The number one more time, $1,000. 508-777-1000. Today's word is play.
This is fun.
Also, if you want to, text the word play to Shindaddy. Just see if that does anything.
You might as well.
402-360-0982. Just see if something happens. Right.
When we come back, Cody Schmick of Beer House is next on Early Break.
This is our favorite.
On the Ticket.